In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, listen to this admonition from the Book of Wisdom. My son, if you intend to serve God, prepare your soul for temptation. For it is an infallible truth that no one is exempt from temptation when he is truly resolved to serve God. This being the case, our Lord himself chose to be subjected to temptation in order to show us how we ought to resist it. The evangelists tell us he was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted. And St. Francis de Sales draws lessons from this mystery for our particular instruction. In the first place, although no one can be exempt from temptation, still no one should seek it out or go of his own accord to the place where it may be found. For undoubtedly, he who loves danger will perish in it. That is why the evangelist says that our Lord was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted. It was not by the choice of his human nature that he went to the place of temptation. He was led by the obedience that he owed to his heavenly Father. So consider from Holy Scripture two young princes who give us examples on this subject. One sought temptation and perished in it. The other, without seeking it, encountered it, but left the combat victorious. At the time when kings would go to war, as his own army faced the enemy, David strolled about along the roof of the king's house, idling his time away like he had nothing to do. And being idle in this way, he was overcome by temptation. Bathsheba, that inconsiderate lady, went to bathe in a place where she could be seen from the roof of the king's house. Certainly, this was an unparalleled act of imprudence, to bathe in a place where she exposed herself to the view of the roof of the royal palace was indeed a very great indiscretion. And whether she thought of it or not, the young Prince David began by allowing himself to gaze on her, and then perished in the temptation which he had sought by his idleness and sloth. So idleness is a great aid to temptation. And never say, oh, I don't seek it, I'm not doing anything. Not doing anything is enough. That is enough in order to be tempted. For temptation has tremendous power over us when it finds us idle. If David had gone out on the military campaign with his men at the time he should have, or if he had been engaged in doing some good work, the temptation would not have had the power of attacking him, or at least of overcoming and vanquishing him. Now, in contrast, the young prince Joseph, who was later the viceroy of Egypt, did not seek temptation at all. And so upon meeting it, he did not perish in it. He had been sold by his brothers, and his master's wife exposed him to danger, but he had never indulged in or heeded her advances, her amorous glances. Rather, he nobly resisted her advances and was victorious, thus triumphing not only over the temptation, but also over she who had been the cause of it. If we're led by the Spirit of God to the place of temptation, we should not fear, but rather be assured that he will render us victorious. However, we must not seek temptation or go out to allure it, however holy and generous we may think ourselves to be. We're not more valiant than David, nor more so than our divine master himself, who did not choose to seek it. Our enemy, the devil, is like a chained dog. If we do not approach him, he will do us no harm, even though he tries to frighten us by barking at us. You will see how certain it is that no one who comes to serve God can avoid temptations by the following examples. Consider Ananias and Sapphira, who in the Acts of the Apostles made a vow to dedicate themselves and their possessions to the perfection which all the first Christians professed, submitting themselves to the obedience to the apostles. They had no sooner made their resolution than temptation attacked them. As St. Peter said, who has tempted you to lie to the Holy Spirit? and they fell dead at his feet. The great apostle, St. Paul, as soon as he had given himself to the divine service and set himself on the side of Christianity, he was then immediately tempted for the rest of his life. While he was an enemy of God and persecuted Christians, he didn't feel the attack of temptation, or at least he didn't write about it. But as soon as he was converted to our Lord, he felt it immediately and constantly. Thus, it's a very necessary practice to prepare our soul for temptation. Wherever we may be, however perfect we may become, we must rest assured that temptation will attack us. We ought to be so disposed and to provide ourselves with the weapons necessary to fight valiantly in order to carry off victory, since the crown is prepared only for combatants and conquerors. We can never trust in our own strength or courage and go out and seek temptation, thinking to confound it. But if in that place where the Spirit of God has led us to encounter it, we must remain firm in the confidence which we ought to have that he will strengthen us against the attacks of our enemy, however furious they may be. Let us proceed and consider a little bit the weapons which our Lord made use of to repulse the devil who came to tempt him in the desert. They were none other than those of which the psalmist speaks in the psalm we recite every night at Compline, who dwells in the aid of the Most High. From this psalm, we learn an admirable doctrine. The psalmist speaks in this manner as though addressing Christians and even someone in particular, as if saying, "Oh, how happy you are, you who are armed with the truth of God, for it will serve you as a shield against the arrows of your enemies and make you victorious." Of course, to know the truth, it's necessary to study it. Start building up your Catholic library now, if you have not yet done so. Make sure that the books contained in it are the treasures of our Catholic tradition, not modern novelties. After that, make sure that they do not simply adorn the shelves, but set yourself to learning from them. Pope St. Pius X used to visit the seminaries of the diocese of which he was bishop, Mantua, before becoming pope, and he would seek out the textbooks of moral theology and the priests' personal libraries, and he would run his finger over the tops of the books and then inspect his fingertip to see how much dust there was on it. You could do the same test. And we need not fear when we are armed with this armor of truth. The psalmist says to fear neither the terrors of the night, for you will not stumble into them, nor the arrows that fly in the air by day, for the arrows will not be able to injure you, nor the demons that roam in the night, much less the devil that advances and reveals himself at noon. Whoever is armed with the truth of the faith need fear nothing. This is the only armor necessary to repel and confound our enemy. For what harm can come to him who says, "Credo, I believe in God, who is our Father and our Father Almighty"? In saying these words, we show that we do not trust in our own strength, but only in the strength of God, the Father Almighty, that we undertake the combat and that we hope for victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.